Oh, I hope Denny was covering that game.
Would have been
he
for
probably
sure.
Would have been. Yeah, would, have been.
Would have been spruiking chock for sure, Widler.
He would have been after a scoop then.
Morning, Denny.
Morning, gents. Yeah, old leg, glory.
Do you remember that game at all, Denny? Did you cover that?
I probably was there. Yeah. Mate. Yeah, I was probably low. Yeah, well, Chock would have been giving it to you.
Oh, mate, I was burning too. Now, and every time they just kept on making a break and he was backflipping and... Nathan Blacklock would come over and he'd do a backflip. I was just standing there. So I was burning.
Well, I've got more bad news for you. I was stuck in Bulldog Alley for most of last week on a stakeout.
Yeah.
All the dramas, right? And I copped a bit of a spray from Paul Vaughan. It's been well documented.
Yeah.
But every second person, they'd be asking, who's going to be the new coach? They'd be hammering you, like all the punters walking past. but the other thing was, mate, can you tell Laurie to stop tipping my horse off? Mate, can you tell Laurie to stop giving out tips? It's costing me a fortune. So that's the message from the punters, Laurie. I'm sorry, but they wanted me to tell you.
Yeah, no,
it's quite consistent now.
How much you cop it.
Yeah, you know what, Denny? I love honest feedback. I'll certainly get plenty of that on
this
program.
Get it on this show, that's for sure.
This is a real problem that even our regular guests on our show are copying abuse for your selections.
They're blaming me.
No, they're blaming you.
Yeah, so, mate, can you just look? You're part of that show. Can you tell Laurie it's costing me money?
Don't tip my horse.
All right, I'll take that into account next time.
Oh dear.
Sorry, love.
No, you're all right, mate.
Denny, Tom Trbojevic. So, just about the worst possible news.
Yeah, it is. Look, he saw two specialists yesterday. There is further damage to the shoulder than they initially thought, and he's been told surgery straight away. It'll be Thursday. And you just got a feel for the young bloke. He's been through such a range of injuries. He's, last year he was the best player on the planet. And, he's just not going to get the chance to try and do that again this year. He's taken this really hard because he put in a lot of sacrifices to get that hammy right. And he got it. He's been having a really good all of last year, obviously. And he had the knee issue and now this. He just feels like he can't take a trick, and it's difficult for him. And because he knows a lot of Manly's season depends on him, and he feels that pressure, and he feels that expectation, he feels that burden. And Tom, you guys would know him, and he's the world's nicest bloke, and probably alongside his brother Jake, and he takes this personally, and he feels like he's let people down. And the remarkable thing about this injury is that I think it was a dead play when he was going for the ball too. There was a knock on and he was still trying his guts out to try and help his team out, and he did that. And it's a really tough blow. And I think a lot of not just Manly fans, a lot of fans out there would be really feeling for Tom today.
Yep, no doubt. Buddy, what about the Bulldogs? Where are they at with their new head coach?
Well, at least I'm not in that alley copping it.
Not the first time you've copped it.
Gus has been crook, so I don't think there's been a lot of progress in that regard, but he has come out and said an experienced coach is essential. There aren't that many experienced coaches out there who really fit the bill. I don't think Canterbury are going to rush this decision. They've got Mick Potter in there right now. They didn't really play very well last week. I think this season's virtually a write-off now. And I think they're going to take their time in appointing the next coach, because it's got to be a coach who can ride out probably the next 18 months while Gus works on their salary cap, because they panic bought players. They bought players who haven't worked. And unfortunately for Dogs fans, they're facing that period of time where they're going to have to wait and watch and see the team struggle. Yes, next year will be better with Reid Marnie and Billy Kickow coming. But it's still going to be tough, and they still haven't settled on a spine anywhere near that. And they have to try and re-sign Matt Bird. So whoever they're going to put in charge is going to be someone who can cop the hits. And in that Canterbury position and with Gus there, you're a target, as Trent Barrett found out. So it's going to be someone who's going to be really tough,
Yeah, I wonder who it's going to be, Danny, because when you look at, if he wants experience, you look at, obviously, Green and Flanagan. They're the two that stand out. And then I heard people say, well, why don't you go and target someone that's already at a club? But when you look at the options available, you sort of go through them all. Bellamy's unavailable. Desi's been there before. Cleary's at Penrith. You've got Toddy Payton, who's only into his second year. Kevy's up there at the Broncos. Holbrook's inexperienced. Mm. You know, Brownie's at the Warriors. O'Brien's under pressure at the Newcastle Knights. Jason Demetriou's, struggling at South at the moment.
Is there a coach that's okay?
You've got Fitzy, who's just gone to the Sharks. You've got Robinson at the Roosters, who's there for another 10 years. You've got Griffin, who's at the Dragons, but he's not going to go there because Gus sacked him at Penrith. There's not many options there at other clubs.
I reckon Gus would be sitting there doing that exact thing. He'd have a far greater insight than I would, but he'd be sitting there looking at his options, thinking maybe there's not an answer. What's the answer here? I don't think he wants to throw Serraldo into the mix at this point. That's why people keep coming back to Shane Flanagan and Paul Green.
Can I ask you something, Denny? It touched on me last week when I heard you say this. When you asked me about Ricky, do you think that'd be a serious play? Because I can imagine the Raiders wanting to keep him, but when you said that the other day, I sort of laughed, and now I just thought of it again there. There's not too many experienced coaches that could roll with the punches. And they've got a great relationship. And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope he stays at the Raiders. But when you said that last week, my ears pricked a little bit.
Yeah. Well, look, his name and Madge's name have both come up, right? With Ricky, I wanted to make sure where that whole situation was. So I've been asking the Raiders and asking Ricky. Now, Ricky has got the highest regard for Gus, and there is no question that they could work together. However, the Raiders they would like Ricky to stay. He's got a contract which runs out at the end of next year. They want Ricky to start talking about a new deal, which probably he won't mind me saying this, but he's pretty old now, so it could be his last deal that he signed. Mm. So the Raiders want that to start happening. Ricky, on the other hand, I don't think he's keen to talk contracts at the moment. I think his focus is purely on getting the Canberra club back to a position where he's happy. They've been good in the last few weeks, as you know. But he wants consistency, and he wants that team to again build into a team that can challenge. I think we acknowledge that they're not a title contender in the immediate future. So his job is to get them back in that position and get them to where they were a couple of years ago. So, and look, Ricky does have his critics, as you know, Laurie, and you've defended him for a long time. But the Raiders are of the view that they would like to start talking to him about a new contract. Ricky, at the moment, is happy just to keep on rolling. And look, the beauty of the Canberra club compared to the Bulldogs, this is where the Bulldogs issue is this: the Bulldogs have got a slightly difficult situation with their board, where it's always under pressure, where it's always changing, where there's elections. The Raiders, where Ricky is quite settled, have a very solid board. He knows them personally. There is a strong level of support there. It's not an unstable situation. So, Laurie, I don't think Ricky would be considering the Bulldogs, largely because he's loyal to the Raiders. Plus, why would you walk into that slightly manic situation where the board is always fighting for its life?
Yeah, no, I hope he stays at the Raiders, but I'm just trying to work out of the current coaches who Gus could target, and then if there's none of them there that he wants or wants to get involved, like the only two that sort of spring to mind are your Flanagans and your Paul Greens.
Yeah, and look, again, both of those. Flanagan is a very successful, hard-nosed coach. I do think there are still things that could stand in his way from being at the Bulldogs. And Green didn't end with the Cowboys in the way that a lot of people would like to have ended their time there. And so that may count against him. I don't think there's been any discussions at this stage with Paul Green.
What about Origin selection, mate? Round the corner, Loz picked his team today, or his squad today. Who are your centres and who's your number 14?
Look, I think the centres, that's part of the issue. I'd probably have Crichton and Staggs just, you know, at this stage. They're the ones that appeal to me. However, I saw that I was on the 100% footy last night, and Darren Lockyer and Paul Gallen had teams up there. I'm really worried about the strength of the Queensland forwards. I think they look good, and I'm a little bit concerned about some of our New South Wales forwards being short on form, and I also have concerns about losing absolute strike weapons in Tommy Turbo and also Latrell. I mean, like, I really think it's a very even contest this time around. I mean, it's a long way from when we were saying, or when some people were saying, how bad Queensland were. I think they've got a very good pack, and they've got plenty of strike in their back. So I'm a bit worried.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I reckon Queensland's forwards look
absolutely, I think it's their best
superb
squad they've had in a couple of years.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, mate, it's a long way from the worst Queensland team in history, isn't it?
Yeah. But you're right. When you go through their forward pack, like Papali's hit form, Fasua Mawali will be there. He's as good as any sort of front rower in the business. You've got
Harry Grant.
Yeah, and you've got those young Broncos players as well that are playing.
And the Cowboys.
And the Cowboys, yeah. Nenai.
Flegler's.
Did they have Nenai in their team last night on 100% footy?
I think Gal picked the Queensland team and Lockie picked the New South Wales team. They flipped it around. And from memory, Gal initially had Nenai and then took him out for Flegler because he forgot about Flegler. But that, mate, when you're not putting someone like him in, you're picking a pretty decent side, aren't you? And I worry about the form of the New South Wales forwards. I've got real concerns about, you know, obviously fitness there and form. And I think privately, I reckon the Blues would be concerned about that.
Denny, you know how our listeners are very, very smart.
Yes.
This one's come in from Mitch from Robinson. With Michael Hagan, would he be open to the Dogs job? Am I right in saying that he's up at the Cowboys with Todd Payton, been around, successful Queensland side, coach Newcastle as well, plenty of experience there. Is that an option?
That's a good
Mitch
thought,
from Robinson.
Yeah,
and I saw Hagues in the coach's box the other night. Is he an assistant up there now?
I don't know. I'd have to look into that. But with Michael Hagan, I had a bit to do with him, obviously, as a club coach, but also I went on the tour with the Kangaroos a couple of years back, and where he's got a very big role with Mal.
Yes.
He's someone who, like when you talk about Tim Sheens knowing a lot about football and you listen to them and you learn, Michael Hagan is in that same category. He's fantastic to talk to about football, and he talks about it in a language that everybody can understand. And he's got that history there, doesn't he?
So, yeah, that might be worthwhile following up.
Not a bad thought. I'll after this, if the great Augustus will take my call, and if he's not too unwell because he's been crook, I'll put that on him, and I'm sure he'll give me a short, sharp answer like he normally does.
Denny, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.